koutou katoa and good afternoon. Welcome to Well with Anahila, the Labourist MP based in Papakura and Tāmaki. And our guest today is an interesting subject and we'll talk about it a bit more. But we have Adrian, also known as Adie, Adie Pride. Now, Adie is a self-employed community midwife. She has been a nurse since 1981 across Auckland and counties Manukau. A hospital, public health, practice nurse and a nursing tutor since 1995. Adie, welcome to the program. So Well with Anahila is about women talking about what they're doing out in the community. Usually we start off by you sharing something a little bit about yourself, and then we've talked about the things that you're doing out in the community to benefit everyone out there. Yeah, and of course your role is very important. Yeah, you're at the beginning of life. Yes. So Adie, welcome to Well with Anahila. Now, it'd be great for you to share a little something about yourself with us.
Kia ora and malo. Yeah. Thank you very much for inviting me along today. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very important subject. Mothers, women having babies is such an important event in their lives and actually is the start of health and well-being and empowerment of women. So I'm really passionate about the subject, so I'm really grateful that you've asked me to come and speak today. Yes. So you want a little bit of background?
Yeah, you know, do you have children, grandchildren?
Yeah, sure. I am married to a tolerant man who seems to support me with my midwifery work for 25 years now. And we have two children who are married and one grandchild and another grandchild on the way, and I'm really passionate about supporting my family, working my midwifery work along with my families. Really important, and my children have supported my midwifery work, as many families support many midwives' midwifery work, because you can't do midwifery without great family support.
Yeah, so that's 25 years in the as a midwife.
Yes. Yeah. If I just go back a little bit though, in 1981 I became a registered nurse, and I've worked across Auckland and South Auckland as a public health nurse and hospital nursing, as well as community practice nursing at GP practices. My public health nursing was in high deprivation areas in counties Manukau. And then in 1995, I did my midwifery education, and I've been a midwife working in counties Manukau. I started off in 1995 as a midwife at the hospital. So I worked for a little while at Middlemore. Yes. And then I have worked for the 24 years as a community-based self-employed midwife. I have two clinics. I have one clinic at the Otara Family and Christian Health Centre, and I also have my other clinic at the Beta Drive Healthcare, which is a big Pacifica clinic in Mangere. Yep. Yes, next to the beautiful Arts Centre.
Yes.
And that's where we've got a new birthing unit, actually.
Yes.
It just opened a few months ago.
Yeah, I was about to jump in to say, well, what's the birthing unit look like? But maybe we'll cover that later if we have time. If you could tell us what the common themes that you've seen over the years.
Because I care for about 80% of Pacifica women, Tongan, Samoan, Niue and Cook Island women predominantly, with about 15% of Māori women as well. Most of the women I care for live in the quintile 4 or 5, which is your high deprivation communities. And I certainly feel like I'm a member of those communities. And the themes I would say are around poverty and the importance that myself as a midwife and other midwives that work in the area provide to the woman to support them to navigate the health services. I would say that's one of the biggest concerns that I see, is that the health services are there, but those health services are quite invisible or too difficult to navigate for women. So to actually get timely health services and health care, really you have to have a midwife walking alongside you when you're pregnant to be able to help you access them in a timely manner to actually get really good healthcare.
Yeah, that's interesting because we interviewed someone last week and her role was advocacy for children.
Mm.
And she spoke about her role being important of being the person that connects the family to services, educational services, or sometimes because she has the knowledge, she can speak at a more confident level than the family's got themselves. Is that something similar?
I would agree. Yes, what I've found over the years, because I've got many families that I've looked after for all of their seven
children.
I've got quite a few families that I've cared for them for 11 births now. I can think of quite a few families. So quite families with quite a few babies. So that trusted relationship's really built up over the many years.
You've become really part of the family. I'm not surprised whether you have lots of Adrian out there in Māngere and Ōtara.
Well, one of the GPs, this is a bit of a side story, but one of the GPs said it looked like they had many, 30 plus, he said, either Adrian or similar to my name.
All
and that, to me, is the honour. That is the true honour of the work I have done. And I don't see my job as being something I just put on to people. I see my midwifery work as being the privilege that the person has asked me to care for them. But I think if we look at the role of the midwife, and this is what's really important in our high deprivation communities, is that we become such a trusted member of the family that actually the women are able to share very openly what their challenges are about navigating the hospital services or the community health services. And when you get that trust and openness between the midwife and the woman, you're actually then able to work with her to actually ask her and offer, would she like me as the midwife to ring and make the appointments, because that might be easier for her. And my experience has been for the first three or four pregnancies, the women are very grateful and like me as the midwife to make those appointments. So I'm the navigator for the health service. But actually, they often get to their fourth or fifth pregnancy and the woman will often say to me, ah, guess what, AD, I know how to do that now.
Yeah.
And so it's lovely over about three or four pregnancies that you actually see the role modelling that the midwife has put in place around accessing the services has actually paid off, and the woman are actually then able to feel confident with doing that themselves. And when I see that happening, when I see a woman saying, hey, I can do that myself this time, I really feel like I've made a big difference to that family. There's a woman who's actually empowered to actually try and navigate the service herself.
Yeah. Like, I think we probably should have started off by talking about your role as the midwife. What is the actual role?
Yes.
Because I'm like, dinosaur years had babies a long time ago, and I just had a doctor, and I went to the hospital, and I didn't know what, didn't have a midwife until my daughter was pregnant and she had a midwife.
Yes.
So probably if you can give us a quick, I know it's a important role, but a quick share what the midwifery role actually, what do you do?
Right. As a midwife, in New Zealand, we're very privileged. Since about 1990, we have been able to practice autonomously.
Mm.
And so for a woman, that means when she's thinks she's pregnant or she's confirmed her pregnancy, she can find a midwife.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of avenues to finding a midwife. Once she's registered with the midwife, that community midwife is then on call 24/7 throughout all of the antenatal time and the labour and birth, and up to 6 weeks after the birth for the mother and the baby.
Okay, so for me, I go to my GP, I find out I'm pregnant, then what happens?
The GP may give you a list of midwives or they may say, look on the internet under something like Find Your Midwife, which is College of Midwives site whereby women can look for midwives.
Mm.
Or lots of women ask their own whānau who they've had.
Yep.
Or they may ask the practice nurse for a recommendation. Certainly out in South Auckland where I am, there are quite a few of us midwives that are co-located with GP practices.
Mm-hmm.
So the GP or the practice nurse would say, look, we've got a midwife here, would you like to see them? And often what happens then, I would see the woman and explain that she could book with me if she wants to, or I can help her find the midwife that's going to be closer to home, or who looked after her last time, can I help her make an appointment with the midwife she's had last time if she would like to. So certainly there's a little bit of a navigational role that's very important to me, and I think that's the way in which we can support and empower women who find it challenging to actually ring around and find a midwife, because in my experience, particularly with women who are new to New Zealand or Pacifica women, that confidence with ringing and asking for a service, so ringing and asking someone to be their midwife, can be challenging. So I think having someone to support, like myself, when I see them at their first appointment, to actually work out that actually you could birth at the primary birthing unit, the local unit that's like the new Mangere one, or Botany, or Papakura, or Pukekohe. Or actually, no, because of your health concerns and complexities, actually we need to be finding you a midwife that is going to birth you at Middlemore. So
you're with the family until after birth?
Yes.
How long after birth?
So antenatally, I would see the woman anything between 10 and 15 visits antenatally, so once every 4 weeks, and then once every 2 weeks after 28 weeks gestation, and then from 36 weeks gestation weekly. Most babies are born between 40 and 42 weeks. So, and then if the woman thinks she's in labour or she's is in labour, she rings me, and then I meet her either at her home to assess her and say, yes, we're going to head into the hospital, or we're going to the birthing unit, or if she was a home birth, we would be staying at home.
So that's where you say your husband's very tolerating of your profession.
Yes.
You could be there for hours.
Yes, true. And sometimes a woman might not be in good established labour, so I'm there to support her and reassure her, and then I would head home or head off and do whatever else I was doing. Until I wanted to go back and reassess her, or that she comes back, phones back and says, look, I am ready for full care now. I'd like to go to the birthing unit or the hospital. So, and then when she's had her baby, some of the women will go to one of the birthing units for a couple of days postnatal. That's if they've birthed at Middlemore. Or they'll go straight home. If they've birthed at one of the birthing units, they often stay there for a couple of days, which is lovely for them as well to rest. Particularly, I think that's important for the women who have got two or three other children or small toddlers at home, or they've got seven or eight children at home. Actually have that couple of days with that newborn is crucially important to breastfeeding success.
Definitely.
And to bonding.
Do you get a lot of women who want to go home soon after birth?
I would say I get a mixture of women. Some of the women would like to go home straight away because they're concerned for their other children. And I can totally understand that. But I've got a good portion of the women I've cared for who would really love to have 2 or 3 days just staying. So if they've birthed at Middlemore, for example, they'd like to just stay at Middlemore because it's closest to where they live. That is a challenge with our services at Middlemore because we don't have enough postnatal beds at Middlemore. So I don't feel the service is ideal for our local families. We really need to be putting women's health first, because if we've got healthy women, we've got healthy children and extended whānau.
Okay. I'll make sure I have that in mind when I speak to the minister.
Thank you.
So you're very connected to the community, you engage well with the women. I was going to ask about what do you feel that you and your team do well, but I think you've covered it, and just in the time restraint, probably ask about some issues that you think could be done better. What are the problems out there and you think it could be done better?
I think we need to really engage our community, our women, who are these people who are using the midwifery and the maternity services, to actually engage with them about what they would like the service to be. We need to know what is it about the services that need to change to actually address their needs so they feel comfortable at using the health service. And that's something I'm very passionate about, because often we set up health services that meet the institution's needs. And
okay. Mm. Yeah. So are you getting feedback now for women?
I've had feedback for 25 years that actually we would like to have some help to navigate the health services. They're not easy to navigate if you're new to New Zealand or English is a second language or your health literacy is low. And that's where midwives are amazing. They actually walk with the woman, helping her to navigate what I think is a very tricky service. Women have also said for a long time they would love to stay locally to where they live for their postnatal care so their family can visit them. Those are two things that are important to me. I suppose the third thing is, the third thing I think is important is that we need to value the role in which a midwife supports women to improve their health, their dietary health, their exercise. It's an important time in a woman's life when she'll often take on life-changing advice, lifestyle-changing advice. And we know that the woman is pivotal to the family. The woman is the person who makes the decisions around health practices, and around lifestyle practices. And when this is such an important time in a woman's life, as the midwife, to be able to impart and support the woman to make some healthy lifestyle changes, and she's the pivotal person for health decision making, we're going to make a big difference to the health of her children, to health of her husband, to the health of her elderly people that she usually looks after in the home as well. And I think we need to be valuing women's health, particularly women who are challenged by the health services, and midwives are the people, the right people, to actually support women to walk that healthy lifestyle, those healthy lifestyle changes.
Yeah, that's quite insightful, Lady, because you, what you've shared is that women are not just having babies, they look after the household, basically the finance controller at home.
Yes.
They usually have elder family members to look after.
Yes.
And on top of that, to have a baby at the same time. So it is really important for people in decision-making to hear the feedback that you, you've shared.
Yes. I think you've missed something, though, as well, Anahela, that's important. Is what I've noticed over the years is that the women are also often part-time employees, and there's a tag team system going on at home. So you've got the husband out with the car and often the phone, because they have one phone at home, and comes back from shift. Then the woman's all of a sudden out the door for a shift at another workplace, and the overlap, the constant 6 days a week of tag team working, as well as the woman running the house, the financial controller, as you say, the person that makes
the food,
but also the person that's actually got to clothe the children to go to school.
Yes, yes. Like the government, like we've just last year started a families package in terms of mothers with their having a baby, first child, at a minimum of $65 a week. Have you had many women say that that's contributing to their household income?
I have to be very honest and say I haven't had a woman at all mention that. But what I do see all the time is women who can't put food on their table every day. One of the first things I say when I'm home visiting is, how's everything going at home?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got your school kids home today. And I have to say, sadly, I see and hear repeatedly, well, we don't have the shoes today. Or we're waiting for another couple of weeks for shoes. Or there's no food for the lunches
for
today.
Lunches.
And as midwives, we're very good at referring to social support services like Family Start, Monte Cecilia, a whole lot of different social services.
So you have
to
be well connected in the community.
Midwives.
To be able to refer families.
Yes.
And what you've just talked about in terms of the shift work, the woman being,
I think there's another side to what midwives do, and it's another very important point I'd like to be able to air with you. So thank you. It's come to my mind.
Yes, no,
yeah. Often as a midwife, particularly in high deprivation communities, I have found over the years women have got their children home from school or their toddlers, and I arrive at the home to weigh the baby and see how the breastfeeding's going and spend time with the mum supporting her. And I'll say, oh, so-and-so's home today. Are they not well?
Mm.
And a number of times I've got my thermometer out and actually said, shall I check your little one's temperature? And they've actually been very unwell children. And sadly, there's no car at home.
Okay, so it's free to see the doctor.
It's free to see the doctor, but
there's no car to get them to the doctor.
Yes. So often, and I can count on a number of times where I've said, can I ring someone in your extended family for you? Because the woman hasn't got a phone.
Yeah.
It's gone to work with her husband.
Her husband, yeah.
Can I ring a family member that can come now and take you and the baby and the toddler that's not well or the school child that's not well to your doctor? I'll ring the doctor for you now and say that this is important, that you're on your way. Now, that's really not in the scope of a midwife's work, but actually all midwives have got the kindest of hearts and they always go the extra mile.
Yeah.
So to me, a midwife's role is very important as guardian and safety of the birth,
yes,
but actually we're the guardian and safe avenue for the woman. For a whole lot of other work.
Well, thank you, Aidy. It's really been insightful. Well, there's quite a lot to just me thinking about having to juggle the shift work, the babies at home, not well. And it's good that the medical, seeing the doctor is free for under 14s.
Yes.
But then getting to the doctor is another, is something that we need to think about. So I've met... I have met Dr. Orna McGinn in Wellington about a petition. I know we're running out of time. I wonder if we've got time to talk about that petition.
Happy to come back another day.
Yeah, we can come back another day. Yeah, we've got, yeah, maybe we'll just talk about in general. So those are the problems the women are facing, but they have solutions themselves. So let's just say... You connected women to local services. Has that worked for them? Have they gone and got in touch with those community services?
I find most of the time the women are really appreciative of that referral and that connection.
Mm.
I tend to not just leave it at that. I tend to check back in with the woman. Have you heard from the organisation or before I actually leave the appointment or the visit at the home that I've actually ensured the appointment's made before I go? That's, again, my midwifery navigating service.
Yeah.
And advocacy as a midwife's very important. So I'm advocating for the woman to make sure that referral has worked. I do find a good portion of the woman... are appreciative and do connect with the services. And obviously there are some that don't, and that's for their own personal reasons. But with the trusted midwifery relationship that I have, they will tell me what those are and we can actually discuss other options for support.
So what is it that you love about being a midwife?
I love the privilege that I'm asked to be the carer, the midwifery carer for the woman, for her baby. I see it as a privilege to be part of her lifetime, this experience that's very important in her lifetime.
Yeah, and so you would have a lot of... Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
No, go for it.
So you would have a lot of women on the go, in clientele. So what happens, so you could get a call anytime?
Yes.
Yeah.
We work in small groups.
Okay.
I work with a group of 7 midwives. So we generally try and take 2 days off call every 10 to 14 days.
So when you said you're on call, you're on call.
That's right. But I have on my answer machine the midwife's name. If any woman needed me urgently, they could then ring. But also they get some handheld notes, midwifery notes, and on that's got each of the midwives that I work with. So we do, work-life balance is important in midwifery when you do 24-7. So, and when you work really well collegially with a backup midwife, and the woman have generally met the midwife as well, the backup midwife. And so that trusted relationship by association goes from me to my backup midwife.
Yeah. So you have one grandchild.
Yes.
Were you there at the birth, and were you being the grandma, or were you being the midwife?
No, I was there. They live out of the city.
All right.
And so we were there not long after.
Oh, God.
And my daughter's due to have a baby in January, and she's invited me to be part of the birth with her. So
yes.
But it's important that I'm not the midwife. Yes. I am going to be the mother of my daughter and the grandmother.
Yes.
I'll have to restrain myself from being too directive.
Yeah, so, okay, we'll have you back so we can talk about the petition. And I've been a grandmother 6 times. So,
oh, well done, congratulations.
And most of the birth I was there, but my husband's been there for all of them.
Beautiful.
I think with my work it sometimes doesn't work out. Yeah, but, we'll have you back. I think we've got 3 minutes left to go with our Talanoa today. I'll probably, if I can ask you, what's your vision for the next 5 to 10 years? I know it's a big question.
I will continue teaching midwifery. I work part-time as a midwifery educator, and because I believe it's important to be teaching and educating our new midwives coming along. And we need more Pacifica and Māori midwives, particularly out in counties. Women of counties need that choice of whether they would like a Pacifica or Māori midwife or whoever. The choice needs to be there for women to make. And I'm also have decided to put my name forward for the local district health board.
We've got elections coming up.
Yes, we have.
October, yes.
Yes. So I'm passionate about family health, and family health is what will improve the health of the next generation. And we need to look at our health services being appropriate for the population it serves.
Yes. Well, is this your first time?
Yes.
Well, all the best, all the very best, actually to stand for a position of where the community has to elect you in. You have to have a lot of courage and a lot of passion.
Thank you.
And I think our conversation today highlights the fact that you've been around since 1995 in South Auckland in your midwife role, and that you definitely have got some insights to share with those in positions of decision-making, really. Yeah.
Thank you.
You better hurry up. I'm sort of aware of the dates, and I think Friday is the closing date?
Correct.
Because you've recently just made that decision.
I have.
Yeah. So
I've got my paperwork to hand in this afternoon.
Hand in, great. Yeah. When I stood for local elections in Manurewa a few years back, I went in 2 days before to hand in my paper, and the person that had nominated me was, she wasn't on the general roll, she was on an unpublished roll. So there were some times that it got me to get that person.
Oh, right.
So just make sure that you've got all of that a couple of days in advance. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Edie, thank you very much for having a conversation today. It's definitely widened up my, my eyes in terms of keeping an eye out to what midwife are doing out there, adding my voice to what you've shared with us. And of course, you're standing for the District Health County Manukau District Health Board.
Correct.
All the best on your efforts, but I will have you back probably, hopefully, sometime soon to talk about the petition that's been lodged in Parliament by Dr. Ona McGinn.
Yes, around contraception.
Contraception,
and equity of access to contraception. Very important.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much,
Amy.
You have a great day, and that was Well with Anahila today. We've had a conversation with midwife Adrienne Friday, and she's shared her experience of over 20 years midwifery in South Auckland, and we wish her luck in her stand for the to be elected into the Countess Manukau District Health Board in October. And that was Anahila today. Ka kite anō.